thank God that you're here and we're here. And last week even we had kind of a slim crew here. But, you know, God's in the house. And we've gathered in His name and we want to open our hearts to what God has. Amen. We want to bless the Lord. You know, when you come to Him, you come with an offering of gratitude, of thanksgiving. You know, when you give a gift to somebody, doesn't it bless your heart when they say, thank you? You're awesome. A thanksgiving and a praise even, right? But we give because we love, right? You right? When you get a Christmas present, it's mommy and daddy loving you, right? So when somebody loves you, the response should be gratitude. It should be thanksgiving that you considered me. That Jesus considered us when we were lost in sin. Amen. And He went to the cross. For God so loved the world. Loved us that much. Took our place. We were a criminal condemned to die because we transgressed God's law. And God in His mercy sent His Son to pay the price for our sin. The price that we deserve to pay, He paid on our behalf. That's how much God loves us. And what is our reasonable service based upon all that He's done? To offer our bodies back to Him. Offer our lives back to Him. Say, Lord, what can we do for You? How can I bless You back? How can I love You back? How can I serve You the rest of my life? I count it an honor and a privilege to serve You. Hallelujah. I was a soul that has been set free, that was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Hallelujah. I once was lost in sin until Jesus took me in. Hallelujah. He made the difference. He transitioned me out of death and into life, out of darkness and into light. Well, I don't know about you, but I was in pursuit of freedom in my life. How many here would agree with me that it's good to be free? That we want to live free, right? And I wrote it down somewhere, but Noah Webster was saying it means freedom from all restraints, that which constrains. And to relieve or rid of what constrains, confines, restricts, or embarrasses even. That's Noah Webster's definition of freedom, what freedom is. And so when we talk about freedom, we really need to understand God's perspective on freedom. When we talk about freedom as a believer, what do we really mean? And how many would agree with me that there is a such thing as responsible freedom? We are free to do whatever we want because God gave us a free will, but how many know that we need to be responsible with our freedom? I mean, somebody can go out with the freedom to rob somebody, all right? They may call, I'm just free to do what I want, and go out and rob somebody. Would that be good freedom? No, that's irresponsible freedom. God gave us laws. He gave us rules. Oh, we hate that word, laws and rules. To protect us, come on, you put a stop sign out to protect people, amen? There's a purpose for a stop sign. Well, I just don't feel like it today. You get it? If you jump out a 50-story building, there's a thing called law of gravity. You know? And you're going to go down fast, amen? Because there are certain laws in place. There's laws of nature. If you pollute the river, amen, and drink the water, you get sick, and everything in the river dies. Amen. There's laws of man that are there, supposedly there, and supposed to be there for the purpose of protecting the people, not controlling and dominating the people, but to protect the population. Now, this is the misunderstanding that some people have about God. They think that God is controlling and that He is, you know, just wanting you to be in bondage and not to experience freedom in life and a will of your own and an ability to dream and to create and to be expressive. Amen. And be basically who you are. Some people think, well, God is cruel and God is restrictive and God takes away our fun. And you know, it's because of that kind of thinking and because we are listening to the wrong voice that we find ourselves in true bondage. That which I thought was going to produce freedom in my life ended up putting me in bondage. So God gave us rules. He gave us standards. Amen? I didn't know that everything in this room was created with a standard. The chair you're sitting in. Amen? There had to be standards. These are the dimensions. This is how it's going to be built. So God, who created all of us, knows what works and what doesn't work. He knows what's best for His creation. And He created us. And He created us as an object of His affection, of His love. Amen? So we would experience His love and respond back to His love. So the restraints that God gave man in the very beginning, well, what was it? You shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Well, there was a restriction. There was a rule. One rule. They had complete, total freedom, access to every tree, amen? Except for one. It isn't interesting how the devil just twists things and comes along and says, oh, God is cruel. God isn't good. God's holding out on you by giving you this restriction. How many would agree with me that love is a choice? You have to have a choice in a relationship. I don't know if anybody here has ever been in a situation where you were young and you might have had, well, not maybe full-blown relationship, but you might have been in a relationship with somebody and there might have been somebody else on the side that was actually trying to work to get your attention, your affection as well. Ever had that where you had more than one person working at the same time? Okay. And you were, as the song says, torn between two lovers, feeling like a fool, right? And so there had to be a choice in the matter, okay? But you couldn't have both. You had to have a choice, amen? One choice out of the two. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want my wife, amen, having two at the same time. How about you? Any guys like that? If you do, you need to get your head examined. And likewise, women don't want their men. They don't want more. And their men don't want their wives to have, right? So God gave us a choice. God gave us a choice to choose who we would serve, whether or not man would choose Him over the temptation. Now, the thing is, the devil is a master of propaganda. We see it in the news media today where we're getting all kinds of information, and a lot of it is misinformation. A lot of what you're hearing is delivered with an agenda behind it, you see. Instead of just reporting the news as it happens, people have learned how to put spins on things to steer people's thinking in agreement with what they want people to believe, because they have an agenda to control. God gives us freedom. He doesn't take that freedom away from us. He gave us a will. And we have to be responsible with that choice that we make. We need to understand there are consequences for what we do. For the wages of sin is what? So if we choose to rebel against the voice of God and do contrary to what the Spirit of grace is telling us to do, it's not God's fault that we find ourselves in a problem. The enemy wants to captivate minds. He wants to get a hold of your mind, and he wants to feed you misinformation because he wants to steer you away from God. The devil simply wants to be worshipped. So what he does is he gives people misinformation. God didn't really mean what he said. God knows that in the day you eat thereof, you shall be as gods, knowing both good and evil. Ah. And they got to thinking about that. Well, if I'm like God, then I'm no longer going to be accountable to God. I'll no longer have to be under his authority because I'll be equal to God. Do you understand what's happening here? The devil lies to people and tells them that they don't need to listen to God's voice. They don't need to obey his word. They can use their freedom to choose not to. Because what he tells them is that God's being restrictive. God's restricting your freedom, your liberty. And yet he says this with an agenda, and that agenda is to get you to listen to him. Because if you listen to him, now you're submitting yourself to him. Are you hearing me, somebody? And his plan is to bring destruction to your life. God is the one who loves you. God is the one that gave us his word to protect us because he loves his people. He gave them the law in the Old Testament to bring some restraints, amen? Some boundaries, some standards for their lives to live by until such time as Jesus Christ would come, amen? Fulfill all the righteous requirements of that law and go to the cross. And all those things that had been written against us, all those rules and all those regulations that we broke, God would take out of the way, nail it to the cross, hallelujah, and call us forgiven. Amen? Amen? Jesus paid the price for every broken law, for every sin on the cross. And so freedom from sin, freedom from the power of sin, freedom from guilt, freedom from shame, freedom from fear even, is through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And in this freedom, there is a liberty now to no longer serve the sin nature, but now I can serve the Lord with a clear conscience because my conscience has been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. And I have confidence with my God. I have peace with our Lord. Amen? How many were old enough here to remember the Gulf War? I remember watching it on CNN. By the way, I don't recommend that, but not today anyways. But it's interesting that they were showing the scenario of the war on CNN. Do you remember that? They were saying, well, if they do this, we're going to do this. And our plan is to hit them from the left side and flank them on the left here. And, you know, and we're going to come up from the south and we're going to hit them from the ocean. And they're doing all this right on CNN with full understanding, hear me, that Saddam Hussein over there is going to be saying, check out these dummies. They're telling us exactly what they're going to do. How many know that they use misinformation on the news to deceive the enemies who actually bought it and believed that we were that stupid that we would tell them exactly what we're doing? So what they did, and we watched, and our intelligence said, hey, they're taking the bait. And so they went a different direction, amen, and we were able to conquer them quickly through misinformation. Are you hearing this today? This is how the devil works. He wants to work in your own life by offering you misinformation, by getting you to believe a lie as though it were true, and that's what we call deception. Deception is believing something that's not true as though it were. And how many know that masses and masses of our people today are being deceived by the things that they're hearing? And they don't know how to check it out. They don't have critical thinking anymore. That's scoffed at. Let us tell you what to think. You don't have to think for yourself. Just let us do it for you. You don't have to work for yourself. Let us just give you free stuff. Free everything. Isn't that great? Oh, yeah, free everything. That sounds wonderful. How are we going to pay for it? Free stuff. Well, did we? In exchange for your freedom, you can have free stuff. You give us control, you give us power, and you can have free stuff. See, the devil is telling you the same thing. You can have freedom. You can do whatever you want. All you got to do is bow down and listen to me. Don't listen to what God says. He's not fair. He's not good. He's holding back from you. He's putting unfair restraints on you by telling you no. How many here have children? How many know that no sometimes is a good thing for a child? You see what happens to a child when they've always been told yes, and they haven't learned how to say no, amen, to anything, when they haven't been told that no, there are consequences for disobeying my word. And if they grow up always getting what they want, you create a monster. And unfortunately, I think we have some monsters in political power today. Entitlement, spoiled, can't accept defeat. I always got what I wanted. And if I didn't get what I wanted, I screamed and I threw a fit until I got what I wanted. But how many know that in the adult world, it's a whole different story? People are not that easy. What am I trying to say? God wants his people to be free, but not irresponsibly free. We're not to use our liberty as an excuse to indulge our sin nature. But we are to use our freedom, amen, to serve the Lord. Because if we're listening to that voice and we indulge our sin nature, there are consequences. God will not be mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Jesus said in John 8:31, if you continue to abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? It'll make you free from deception, from lies, from misinformation, from control, amen, of the enemy over your life, taking over your life, taking away your freedom. God gives you the liberty to choose, amen, to obey or to love him or not. As much as I want people to obey the Lord, I cannot force anyone to obey the Lord, amen? That's your choice. God gave it to you. Choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the worldly man or woman believes they're free by establishing their own standards and by avoiding restrictions. Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. I don't know about you, but if I thought it is probably right. Not. It may be right, but it may be wrong. I've been wrong at least once in my life. That was when the time I thought I was wrong. But all of us have been deceived. All of us have been convinced that we were right about something. And because of our pride, sometimes we will not admit we were wrong about something. We won't take responsibility for it because, well, I don't want people to look at me that way or think about me that way. So I'll try to cover. How many know it's always worse when you try to cover up a lie? And you got to live with that thing. That thing will nag at you. It'll eat at you. Knowing that you lied. That's why we just come to God with those things, don't we? And if you've lied to a brother or sister, come to him and apologize. Take responsibility. You have freedom to forgive. You have freedom to confess. Do the right thing with your freedom. You have freedom, but there's responsibility with it. Jesus said freedom is a result of knowing the truth. I say it many times, but we need to remember this, that truth is not what I think it is. I just mentioned that stop sign. I may think, well, my truth is that stop sign is irrelevant. Okay? Well, no. The truth is, if you run that stop sign, you're taking a risk. Amen? You're risking your life and maybe the life of somebody else. So there are standards. There are things that are actually true. And what is true? It means that which is authentic or real. So truth is that which is really real. What's really real? Again, you jump out of a building, the laws of gravity. Well, not for me. I create my own reality. In my world, I fly. Well, how does that work for you? Don't take this literally. You can't have freedom without truth. See, the world is selling this bill of goods to people that's saying, oh, you just do whatever you feel like doing. And you're free. And yet, how often have we listened to that voice and discovered that what was supposed to bring freedom brought bondage, brought shame, brought guilt, regret. Because I listened to that liar, the adversary, the devil. He's good at twisting things and making things look right even when they're not. And that's why we have to be very careful to not be wise in our own understanding, because every man's ways are right in his own eyes. But it's the Lord who weighs the heart. I need to know what God says about it. What does God say about this? That's what's true. God's word. Have you discovered already that God's word is actually true? It's really real. It works. Even people that don't know the Lord are practicing some of the principles in the Word of God. Man has put their name on it. But some of this stuff that's going on in the world is something that came right out of the Word of God. And man has been practicing it and realizing it that it works. And they just put their own name on it instead. How about death and life and the power of the tongue? Even the mind sciences have discovered, yeah, words are powerful. Words can hurt. It wasn't Sigmund Freud. It was the Word of God. Amen? You got to go higher than that. What is freedom? To relieve or rid of what restrains? Well, if I'm equal with God, you know, that means I don't have to be accountable to God. I don't have to be under any kind of restraint. I can cast off restraints. I can be free to do what I want. And so the same lie that was told Eve in the beginning, that Adam also bit off on, is the same lie that he's presenting today, that you don't need to be under any kind of authority. That you are an authority unto yourself, that you are basically your own God. And so you create your own reality as your own God and choose the path that you think is best for you, irregardless of any kind of standards that someone else may put upon you. I choose to be free of restraint, of law. How many have discovered that breaking the law has consequences? And a good law is a law that's there to protect. Not to oppress, but to protect. So the devil convinces mankind to come out from under God's authority by disobeying him, refusing to listen to his voice. And so as a result, when man bows or we listen to the voice of the adversary, we actually place ourselves under his authority. He usurps authority, and now he's got us serving him. We're serving a loser now, because Jesus Christ is Lord, has all authority, and he's given us the freedom in him, amen, to defeat the works of the devil, to destroy his works, amen, and to put the misdeeds of the body to death. In his name, in his authority. So the enemy simply wants worship. He wants you to listen to his voice. He wants you to disregard the word of God and just listen to me. Well, it felt good at the time, but afterwards it didn't feel so good, did it? They were safe as long as they remained under the shadow of the Almighty. As long as Adam and Eve were under the authority of God, as long as they'd kept themselves in that right position, understanding that I have freedom to roam about the garden, but there is a restriction. There is a rule. And as long as I'm willing to bow to the Father's authority by obeying the one rule, I'm in a place of safety. I'm protected. See, the enemy couldn't touch Adam and Eve unless he could get them to listen to him. I say this many times, but God cannot be touched by Satan directly. So what he wants to do is get you and I to listen to him. Because then he can touch God's heart. Because he's heartbroken over sin. Because of its destructive nature, amen, in our lives. Because God loves us. He's not cruel. He's trying to protect us because he cares. Sometimes our kids don't like it when we discipline them. But we have to be strong in that. Amen? And if we say no, we need to mean no. All right? If we say yes, it's yes. We need to be people of our word. Psalms 91, how many love this psalm? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It gives you the picture, amen, of a hen brooding over, right? Her chicks. As we snuggle up, amen, under the protection of the Father's wing, under the authority of our Father, there's safety. Submitting ourselves to the Word of God is a safe place to be. It becomes dangerous when we take ourselves out from under His authority by doing contrary to what we know in our heart is right, and thus giving the enemy access to wrought destruction in our lives. God knows what He's talking about. He made us. He's smarter than we are. Amen? God knows what works. He's the manufacturer. He knows the product better than the product knows itself. We need to obey the voice of our Father. He's a good Father. He's the lover of our soul. He knows what's good. Any good father wants to bless his children. Psalms 91:2, I will say of the Lord with my mouth, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Who's the fowler? It's a catcher of birds, right? But it's a type of who? Satan, right? What does he do? He sets traps for us. That's what he did with Adam and Eve. He set a trap for them. Got them to listen to him instead of God. And he will deliver you from the perilous pestilence. Now, how do you escape the snare of the fowler? Go back to verse 1. By dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Staying in His presence. Staying close to the Lord. Staying under His authority. Obeying the voice of the Lord. How many know that there are many of our brothers and sisters whose very lives depend on hearing and obeying the voice of God? They're in hostile areas where Christians are being martyred. Amen? And they have to depend upon the voice of the Holy Spirit to direct them in everything that they do. They have to learn, they've learned that I must acknowledge the Lord in all my ways. And He will direct my path. And by doing so, they can escape the snare of the fowler. There's safety only under the protection of the Lord. That means under the authority of God's Word. Amen? What God says, amen, supersedes everything else. My thoughts, my opinions, amen? God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. When I submit myself to the Word of God, to the voice of my Father, and I'm willing to listen to Him, then I'm in a place of security. And surely then He shall deliver you from the snare, or the trap of the catcher of birds. Amen? And it says, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. It's a good place to be. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall know what's authentic, what's real, and it will protect you from the lie that is a trap for your soul. Do you understand? A lot of people already are duped because they don't do any research themselves. They simply listen to what people tell them and believe it. Come on. What I'm saying to you today, you should be praying and saying, God, show me what is true here. Yeah. If I say something that's off, amen, you need to spit the bone out. But if you don't seek the Lord yourself, and if you're not in the Word yourself, how can you know how to judge a word when you hear it?
Amen.
God's Word is good for us. It's His love letter to us. People who reject Christ and His rule over them are right where Satan wants them. I don't care if you're Christian or not. Christians too, we can reject the Word of Christ. We can deny His voice. We can do our own thing. He still doesn't take away our freedom. Amen. We're free to serve Him now, willingly submitting ourselves to His authority, understanding that it's a good place to live. There's life and peace in the Spirit. There's no regret. You can lay your head down on your pillow at night and sleep. Amen. Because I'm at peace with the Lord. And I'm at peace with my brother and sister. Paul said to the Galatians, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. Galatians 6 and verse 7. You know, I read a good book by Keller years ago, Psalms 23. Anybody ever read the book? It's called Psalms 23 by Keller. And this is a shepherd's perspective on the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And in that, he talks about, you know, that the lamb has freedom, amen? But the lamb has to be kept, amen, and protected by the shepherd. And occasionally a lamb will decide that it wants to go its own way, amen? All we like sheep have gone astray, right? So that lamb sometimes will wander off, and what can happen is that lamb can end up drinking, you know, from polluted pools or puddles that are noxious, or eating noxious weeds even, you know, and cause that lamb to get sick, and even it could even cause its death. Not only does it threaten the life of that lamb to be separated from the flock, but it also can cause others to follow after him and also be in a place of vulnerability. Why? The safety is under the protection of the shepherd. Amen? And that means that they know the shepherd's voice. They hear the voice of the shepherd. They can recognize that voice from any other voice, and they won't follow any other shepherd because they know the shepherd's voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life. There's safety, amen, under the authority of a father, as we submit ourselves to his word. And I want to talk about one more thing here. A big mistake that many people make is they separate Christ from his word. In other words, they have an intellectual concept of God, but it's not based in reality or in truth. We need to come to a saving knowledge of him, to where we know him who is the truth. And the truth makes us free, amen, from the power of sin. It's canceled, it's broken. The power of the devil is broken in our lives through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so people, they have a concept of God based upon a letter. Now, the Word of God, the written Word, in itself is not enough. We need to come to a knowledge of the living Word through this written Word. Some people know the Bible very well, but the question is, do you know Him who it's talking about? Amen. It's a place to start, and we should be in the Word, because by this we can come to know the Lord and the character and the nature of our God, so that we'll be able to identify His voice. When we hear a word, we'll say, wait a minute. that doesn't line up with this. Or yes, that's in agreement with the revelation that God has given us, His written word. So the written word is to bring us to the living word, that we might be in relationship with Him, that we might be born of His Spirit and become a child of His own. Amen? Transitioning out of darkness into light, out of death into life. New life in Jesus Christ. It's not enough to know about God. We must know Him. For this is eternal life. So let me give you an example. I remember when I was in the army and I was up in the demilitarized zone in Korea. And I couldn't have any correspondence with Haesuk. And except that we could get letters. We could get mail, you know. And, oh, I don't know about you. Have you ever been in a place where you're separated from your lover? Okay. And, man, you just like, you were just waiting for that letter to come in the mail. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Or you haven't heard from somebody. Maybe it's even a phone call. You've been trying to get a hold of them. They're not answering your call. And all of a sudden that phone call comes in. Oh, so good to hear your voice. But when you get a letter, you know, it's a precious thing because you're like, you're reading, you're hearing, and you're trying to actually reach through that letter to the heart of that person. How many here have ever written something, even a text, that was misunderstood? Somebody said, what do you mean by that? You might have meant something good, but the text itself was not the same as actually being with that person, in person. You hear me? So I would treasure the letter. The letter was great, but what I really wanted is to be with her. But in the meantime, I treasured that letter. Are you hearing me? God gave us His letter, His love letter. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen? Yes. And what happens is our hearts long for Him, for His manifest presence in our lives. I don't want to just learn about God. I want to know the Lord. I want to walk with Him. I want to touch Him and feel Him and experience Him. Amen. And make Him known. I want to know the Lord intimately. And true freedom is in that place of intimacy, because when I'm in harmony with Him and I'm under His authority, I'm under His wing, there's protection, there's comfort in His presence. Amen. There's guidance for my life when I'm walking with the Lord, and I'm not living in fear. I'm not living in shame. I'm not living in guilt, because things are well between me and my Maker. Amen. Because I've gone beyond just the letter to the substance, which is Christ. Christ Himself. Why am I saying this? Because there are people who think if they just get a little more information, a little more Bible, a little more preaching, that somehow they're going to be okay. How many know that you can know the Bible and go to hell? How many know the devil knows the Bible? He can quote the Bible. He did it to Jesus, didn't he? That doesn't save you. You've got to get from the letter to the substance, who is Christ. And so when you heard the gospel, when you heard it or you read it, and you realized that God was giving you an invitation to be saved, and you responded to Him, not the letter, but to the one who wrote the letter, and you called out His name, and you humbled yourself and said, God, forgive me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, save me. Make me one of Your own. I've sinned against You, but Lord, I turn away from my sin this day. And God will hear that prayer, and God will manifest Himself. And all of a sudden, things change. Your heart starts to change. Your desires are different. You start seeing things differently. You start wanting the things that God wants. You start hating the things that God hates. When you're born again, you're a new creation. You're just not an improvement of the old. The letter can only make an improvement on the old thing, but the old thing has to die. You must be a new creation. You must get from the letter to the substance, which is Christ. You must know Him. I read a book by Richard Wurmbrand called Alone with God years ago. Here's a man that spent many years, I think it was like 12 years, in solitary confinement. No Bible. He was a minister of the gospel. And he had all that time to be alone with God. He couldn't talk to anybody else. Very rarely did he see anybody except the guard would come in and beat him. And he was in there because he had been caught smuggling Bibles. But alone with God. And he came to know the Lord in such a deep way, in such a wonderful way, that he thought he had known the Lord before. But after that 12 years, he came out a transformed man who really, really knew the Lord, knew his voice. And it's a really powerful book. It's called Alone with God by Richard Wurmbrandt. If you get a chance to read it, Alone with God. And God gave him revelation after revelation. Another one was Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee also spent time in prison. And God gave him revelations. He came to know the Lord in a deeper way. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying, folks, that we need the letter, amen, to reveal the heart of the one who wrote it. But the key is in knowing him. That's where salvation is. Because there's some people that think if they just got a degree in theology, that's a shoe into heaven. How many know that there are people who have theological degrees that don't even know the Lord? And you can tell when you listen to them speaking. I determined in my life I want to know. I want to know him. I don't want religion. I want presence. I want to walk in his presence. I want to know the Lord. That's life. Wherever Jesus is life. So my question is, do you really know him? Do you really know life? Do you just know about Jesus, or do you know him personally and intimately? Because your freedom will be found in his presence. Your freedom from, amen, attacks and the shame and the fear and the guilt and all these things are in his presence. That's where you find your refuge. That's where you find your rest. It's in the holy place. It's in his presence. Hallelujah. In his presence is fullness of joy. The world is looking for joy in all the wrong places. They need to come back to the Creator and come through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And all the things that I was pursuing, I just wanted to feel good. I wanted to make this world heaven. How many know what I'm talking about? It seemed like the more I tried to make this world heaven, the more miserable I was. Because nothing in this world really satisfied me. Until I came to the Lord, amen. And I experienced the reality of his presence. And the joy of knowing him, the joy of his fellowship. And with God's people, it's so amazing. I've got friends, friends that I can trust now. Amen? We have a precious gift, don't we? It's the gift of God. It's eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Make sure that you have the Son. Make sure that you are in him. Amen? Because knowing about God doesn't save you. You must come into life, into Christ. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You must be born of his Spirit. You must come by way of the cross, of confessing your sin to God. Amen? Turning, renouncing the way of the world, embracing the word of the Lord for your life. Amen? Placing yourselves under the authority of the Father. And in that place, there's shalom. There's perfect peace. There's rest for your soul. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here today and you're learning about God. You're inquiring about God. You might want to know more about God. But deep down inside, you know that you don't really know God. But you want to know Him personally, intimately. You want to be brought into fellowship with Him. If that's your heart, if that's your desire, it's the Lord that's been working in you. It's the Lord that's pressing you to turn to Him, to surrender your life. If you want to really know the Lord, you're going to have to give your life to Him. You're going to have to trust Him with your life. You're going to have to surrender the old in order to get the new life. You have to give up the fight and resisting the Word of God, and then place yourself under His authority and begin to live and navigate by His Word. That's the only place of security, of safety. If you're here today, in fact, I want to ask everyone, let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Let's just do this together. You want to know the Lord Jesus. And I'm just going to pray, and I'd like to ask you to pray with me, but pray this from your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that You died for me to rescue me from myself, to rescue me from the sins that I committed against You. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm asking You to forgive me and to wash me, cleanse me in Your precious blood. Lord, I open my life to You. And I ask You to come in, Lord Jesus, to abide in me, to make me a new creation. Thank You, Jesus. You said those who come to You, You would in no wise cast out. So I come to You today, Lord, and I surrender all. I give You my body. I give You my mind. And I give You my spirit. All of me, Lord. And I ask You to totally fill me with Your Holy Spirit and lead me in the way everlasting. For Your name's sake, I ask this. I want to know You, Lord. Reveal Yourself to me by Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. If you did that first time, you tell somebody. Hallelujah.